Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Hello, everyone, and listen, thanks so much for taking the time to be here today on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither. Now, who you were just listening to is Josh Stepman, and Josh is going to join us on the show tonight. We are going to talk about his life, we are going to talk about his music, and we are also going to hear more of his music. So he is already joining us on the line. Hello, superstar.
Hello, Victoria. How are you?
I see you over there shoring off with that voice of yours sounding all great.
After all the talking I did today, I'm surprised.
So listen, for all of our new listeners and also fans, and also for many people that are just joining us tonight to listen to you and to hear a little bit more about you, let's let's start the conversation with how is it that you came into music? Was this something that you were born with and you started to develop it at a very young age?
I think the first I recall was being forced into piano lessons at some point by my mom.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I obviously didn't appreciate it. I just knew it was one more thing I had to do after school that didn't include riding my bicycle. And my piano teacher kind of didn't like the fact that I memorized all my music before I actually had a chance to start to learn how to read the music.
Mm-hmm.
So she struggled with me a little bit, but I, you know, she's a little happier now that I'm one of her few students that's kept with it. So I guess I've made it up a little bit somehow.
Well, I know that when you said that she's happy that you stuck with it, trust me, she's very happy, and I know all of your fans and followers and supporters are very happy too. So how is it that one like yourself develops your style in music? Does that come naturally, or is that sort of a tweaking process that you do?
Actually, it was a pretty bumpy road for me. When I was in middle school, you know, 11, 12, or maybe a little bit earlier, I remember getting my first, I got a tape of, I think it was a U2 album or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and a CD from Midnight Oil. I was in a band in seventh grade, and they were into new wave, you know, we were called Inertia, you know,
mm-hmm.
cool, like trying to be cool, 12, 13 year olds, you know, like, ooh, we've got this great name. It's called Inertia. Nobody's going to know what it means, but everybody's going
right.
to love it, you know. and you know, I was very impressionable at that age. And so I didn't really know what I liked. I was just kind of following suit. I was in the band as a keyboardist and, you know, I was kind of the technical guy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushed me into high school, which turned me more onto rock and classic rock, and then into college, which turned me more onto acid jazz and funk. And then post-college, where I started writing, and my acoustic guitar kind of took me into a particular direction just because I was playing an acoustic guitar, so the writing style kind of falls in that realm as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to get the funky, jazzy, Jamiroquai-ish feel in the production of the album, because I was kind of really always drawn to that. I mean, when I was singing something, you know, just off the top of my head, listening to it in the car, normally it would be when my body started moving, and that started happening around the funk stuff and sort
right.
of the vocals. You know? And so
right.
I've been trying to move into that direction continuously since the beginning of this first album.
Well, I think it's always so interesting with people like yourself who are artists, and I certainly do fall in the category and consider what you do is an art, that you are always evolving. You're always evolving in your music, and also I think life itself probably helps you with that. So are there kind of any sort of parallels within your life that helps you evolve in your music, or it pretty much just sort of goes hand in hand?
Yeah, no, I think they are. I think they do in a way go hand in hand, but they are somewhat subliminal, if not implicit.
Mm-hmm.
In that I think in this first album I did concentrate quite a bit on relationships involving me, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff involving my heart, stuff involving stuff that was powerful, painful to me. And I realized somewhat after the completion of this album, that maybe in my next project or projects that I would take on more of a community or global feel.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how large one likes to consider their community to be. Some
right,
it's just
right.
the person next to you, other people, it's the other 6 billion people on the planet.
Right.
And I've just tried to expand into, you know, sharing what I think is, you know, as the world becomes flatter, as Thomas Friedman says, you know, we really are more connected to each other than we give credit for. And
mm-hmm.
I think that I, as an artist, want to be a little bit more connected to that concept as well. I mean, it's got to still come from the heart for me, but
mm-hmm.
I think the evolution will probably be more community oriented.
And speaking of connection, I can't let that word go. and not talk about social networking, the Facebook, the Twitter, and all of that stuff. So how has that helped your career and sort of changed things for you to be involved in social networking? Because I was literally, Josh, thinking about this a couple of days ago, that all the sort of artists back in the day did not have social networking, and a lot of what they did was very much dependent upon if a record company picked them up. And but these days, you know, you can be an artist and you can do your own thing. You don't necessarily need a record label company. I'm sure you would want that and it helps, but that's not the only avenue that artists have to go use the doors to open for their career these days. So talk a little bit about social networking and how that's working for you.
Yeah, I think it is a definite paradigm shift in what's been happening in music in the last 10 years, certainly the last 30. And for me, it's definitely made it a lot easier in terms of riding the wave of the progression and the changes going on in the industry, specifically from a record label perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, a record label right now, well, let's say a couple of years ago, a record label would most definitely be necessary for, I would say, distribution purposes. You may be able to get to a certain level with social media and social networking, which had never been accomplished before,
mm-hmm.
and you could achieve that 10,000, 25,000, 50,000 fan level where record labels now look at you as an asset. And
mm-hmm.
You come to the table negotiating a lot more powerfully with those numbers, and they say, well, we can take you from 50,000 to 500,000, and that's their value add, and that's
right.
their distribution capability that it was much harder to do on your own because you just didn't have the manpower nor the access.
Right, to do it.
And now, a couple of years later, I think it's transitioned a little bit more. I think it's not so much distribution. You can gain distribution. Record labels are not necessary to be reached in the non-brick-and-mortar outlets, such as
mm-hmm.
the iTunes and the Amazon MP3s and the Napsters and whatnot. So you can – it's more of a – and I heard this from panelists at a conference in Miami, and I agree with them. Unfortunately, I can't remember who it is I'm quoting exactly, but
gotcha.
It's more of an attention economy versus a distribution economy. You know, can you keep the attention of your fans online? And if so, then, you know, a record label is not going to be able to help you do that as much because they're going to have the same problem keeping the attention. It's really more about it falling in the artist's auspices, the artist's hands, to have the connection, like you
mm-hmm.
say, with your fans. And with that, you become as or more powerful than a record label in many respects, and therefore you can be a lot more independent. And be directly connected fan to artist with no middleman. It is a little bit harder to do because it does require the artist to be a lot more involved, and that requires
right.
time. And you know, I definitely always look in the mirror and say, have I been connected with my artists and my fans rather enough?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe they deserve as much attention as I can give them, if not more. And you know, it is a juggling act though, because you know I'm an artist, which means I need that artist time, that private time,
right.
to be creative,
absolutely.
To get into my space, and I don't want somebody else writing my Twitters to my fans for me.
Right, absolutely,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. That yeah,
but
this
it's
whole
juggling act.
Yeah, this whole you know, this whole as you said, paradigm shift. It's just it's interesting and it's exciting for someone like me, being a journalist, to be alive to actually see all of this going on, and also personally myself taking part within that shift in my own industry and television news. But we are going to bring entertainment co-host Michael Kay on the line to join the conversation. While Michael is joining us on the line, I do want to thank all of you who are listening tonight. We are talking to the one and only Josh Stepman. He is a musician and also artist, and we're going to hear also a little bit more of his music in a moment. But Michael Kay has joined us now. Michael Kay, you always bring the best of the best of the best to Ecton with Victoria.
I tell you, do I have the best taste in music or what?
Yes, you do.
Good evening, Josh. Good evening, listeners. Josh, such a pleasure to finally chat after months of agonizing waiting, but really nice to chat with you.
Great to be here.
Thank you. Let's go right to your music here. Untangled is the title of your CD, which was released in November 2009, correct? November 5th at Crash Mansion. For those who don't know, Crash Mansion is a fantastic independent rock venue that really supports the truest cream of the crop. Nora Jones played there when she first hit it big. So what was it like launching or dropping your album there?
It was kind of a homecoming, if you will. I'm from the Northeast, New York, New Jersey area. A lot of my original friends, including the ones that were in that band Inertia way back when, they were there from kindergarten all the way through college. And so, a full gamut of friends and family. And it was a reunion for some, a party for others, an awesome music concert for a few others, and an amazing experience for me. I was very lucky to have such an amazing band behind me, guys, some of whom I brought up with me from Miami, like Max Farber on keys, Caesar Griffin on the drums, and also somebody who happened to have been playing there the same night with his own band, which is how we arranged it, Fernando Perdomo of Dreaming in Stereo, joined us as a bass player because he was playing that same venue within the same week. So also had my producer Alan Tobin join me, which was a great reunion because I'd spent 6 weeks with him in New York doing the album, and then the next year and a half completing it. And am I leaving anybody out? I think. Oh, I had a guest guitarist come in as well, who is a friend of my producer's, and just an amazing, amazing player. And it was great to have him there as well. Just filled the sound, and I was very fortunate to have that. And a great crowd show up. Sold a bunch of CDs, and friends even popped in, surprised me from all over the country. And so I would do it again. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, in the chat room we have Barbara Dixon, who represents a Buttons Dixon in Nashville, Tennessee, a very talented young artist. You should check her out. And also Mike Culp is in the chat room. Mike represents Drew Stevens. And actually, you know what, Josh, you should go ahead and give a listen to Drew Stevens too. You'd really like him. But
yeah, you
I know
would,
they'd
yeah.
be interested in I know they'd be really interested to know, from start to finish, what was your time span to actually put out your product as it is now?
It was, let me preface all that by saying that I'm a perfectionist, which automatically gives me a buffer of an extra 50% of time over and above what it should take. I got the kick in the butt from my best friend Barry to do this album somewhere in middle of 2007. And that was right before, it was in the late summer, and starting in early fall, right around September, which is the best time to be in New York City as far as I'm concerned, I was in the studio at May Studios with Alan Tobin, sitting co-captain to co-captain chair next to each other, doing pre-production and going through a six-week process of recording drums and bass in an analog studio and then doing everything else in the May Studios, which is a digital studio. And having awesome musicians from Groove Collective join me and other phenomenal guys who played with John Legend as the number one organ player for years. And they laid down tracks. And after all the recording was done, a lot of the skeleton, if you will, 6 weeks later, I kept coming back to New York every so often to record vocals differently or add some changes to a song or make some other edits. And it finally took until the summer, took about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Took about a year and a half. And then we finally released in November of 2009. So it was a long process. And I promised myself I would never let it go that long again, because you have to be, you have to be an entertainer, like Billy Joel says. You know, you can only stay on the shelf for so long.
Right.
And And so you got to produce and keep writing and keep showing that your creative juices are flowing. And so I've learned so much from that first production that I can now move a little bit more quickly. I'm always learning in this process. It is an iterative process, so there is no right way. And so it's a challenge, but I'm surrounding myself and been lucky to be around very smart people and intelligent, interesting people. So and creative people. So hopefully an EP will be coming out this year. So it doesn't have to wait as long as last time.
Right. Fantastic. Vic, you're going to find this very interesting. Our buddy Josh, I fell in love with him when I first heard you, Josh, but I really started to understand more of what your soul was about when I saw you on YouTube. You're on a boat in, where was that again? Was that in California? Or?
Yes, that's right. I was in San Francisco.
So he's on this boat with a bunch of friends, just plucking his guitar on this boat, and it's a song called "The Gift," which is "The Gift" is now the official theme song of the world-renowned DailyMiracles.org. Vic, it's sort of like a pay it forward for Craigslist kind of a thing. If someone needs help, then you go over and help, and you just kind of, you know, that's how you work the site. And Josh, I mean, fantastic song, "The Gift." Did you write that before the association with Daily Miracles, or did they approach you with that?
No, they approached me with that. Daily Miracles, I'm very good friends with the founder, and he said, you know, first of all, do you agree with the concept? And I said, oh, absolutely. You know, I remember when you were throwing ideas around about how to come up with the ultimate concept for something that seemed so natural, and it naturally did come to him, of course, in the shower or the dream somewhere, and, you know, and hence Daily Miracles was formed. And he said, well, if you agree with it, would you like to write a song about it? Because we'd be honored to have you represent us musically. And I said, well, that's a tall order, an awesome challenge, and I'd love to take it on. And as it should, the idea came to me in the shower just the same. and you know, it did help to have a great foundation with such a great concept. But to put it into words is always the challenge for me, and to fit that to music. So, I was, when it finally did come to me and I approached him with the, I guess it was a blueprint, if you will. He said, oh my God, you hit it right on the nail on the head.
That's,
you know,
great.
Exactly what it's about. So it felt good. You know, that sense of accomplishment, it's tough to replace or to mimic, you know, to replicate that. So I feel good about that one.
That's
well,
very,
Josh,
very cool.
you made a gift for people. I mean, that's the whole irony. I find that your gift is this gift that you
do
have.
Yeah.
So you know, I really do appreciate it. Vic, you want to give it a listen?
Yes, let's listen.
All right, everybody, this is Joshua Sedman singing "The Gift" from his album Untangled.
I feel the need to save the world, but it seems just too big. What's one drop of change in a sea of need? I want to know the name of the person I have here. I want to be the dream as it's becoming real. my pride aside. I'm reaching for a hand while I still can. What might seem small to you could change my life. Instead of saying thank you, I'll just become.
Isn't that great, Vic?
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, you know, when literally when, and I know I'm not only speaking for myself, but when you sit there and you listen to that song, you really feel it with inside of your bones, your heart. I mean, every single thing in your being just comes alive when you hear that. And the message, my goodness, yeah, just beautiful.
Thank you. There's it really makes it a lot easier when it's a gift. It's amazing the power that comes from a gift, and I think this song helped me recognize that in so many ways, and I need to do more of that. You know, it's gifting is so powerful for the person gifting and the person receiving. It works both ways. So,
yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You are
yeah.
absolutely right. Michael Kay, I'm looking inside the chat room. I want to thank everybody who's there visiting us, and it looks like we've got a few questions. Should we ask some of the questions?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go to Mike Cullop, actually, in Maryland. Any professional voice lessons, Josh?
Oh, and thanks for being my chat room monitors, guys. I apologize that my internet connection is limited to cell phone.
Oh, don't worry about it. We got you. Don't worry about it. We're there.
Cool. Well, yeah, I did. The answer to that is yes. And I was in college. I did some jazz guitar. I was kind of a music minor, and I did some vocal lessons. They were more operatic, which I never continued to study, but they were technically operatic. And then following college, I did do some lessons in New York City with a great teacher who really gave me the lessons on breathing more than anything else. I think the breathing is about 90% of your singing. And so, you know, it's just understanding how diaphragm works, how to be able to hold the note, where to get your air from, how to support your vocal cords when you are pushing air, you know. You know, less so in vocal technique than breathing technique.
Yeah.
I know that
wow.
they sound like one and the same, but I kind of separate them because you know, nobody really taught me where to put my melismas, you know, where you change your pitch on the same note or the
mm-hmm.
same syllable
right.
rather. But, you know, that was more from just practicing it, listening to R&B singers or funk singers or other singers
mm-hmm.
who do it and trying to just mimic it, you know, but the technique is what helps to support that.
Absolutely. Vic, I see Barbara Dixon has a question there.
Yes, actually, let me see if I can go ahead and bring that up. Josh, you're not the only one having problems. Okay, I think I got it right now. She wants to know, how did he know? Oh, this is a very, very good
question.
Barbara Dixon wants to know, how did you know, Josh, who to trust? And I think what she means by that, within the music industry, you know, well, not even music industry, within every industry there's always bad and there's good. So I guess her question is for somebody like herself, because her granddaughter is very young and she is in the music industry. She's looking for advice on, you know, trusting people and sort of how do you know, and any advice, you know, that you could give folks on that.
You know, it is a tricky industry. Don King got out of it in 6 days after saying it was more tricky than boxing. And it's... You know, I think what really does help when trying to identify someone to work with or someone to get advice from, and I believe me, I'm still searching for the answer myself, but is
mm-hmm.
really knowing what you want out of your own art and
okay.
having a good sense of where your direction is, you know, doing a little of your own research, of course, kind of knowing what other artists who have maybe made it have done, who they've, you know, what their path has been. There's no need to reinvent the wheel in this business. There are some patterns that do work. And knowing where you want to be helps you identify who you want to help get you there. And if you come to the table with a little bit more of an understanding of that, it's a little bit more intimidating for the other person. So they're less likely to take advantage of you because they know that you're not flailing around looking for someone to give them direction.
Good point.
You know,
yeah.
People take advantage of you when you don't have your directions.
When you don't have your directions, absolutely, yeah. I think that, yeah. And you know what, honestly, you know, listening to that, I think that's just great advice, just straight across the board that, yeah, because it's easier to trick someone or coerce someone when, like you said, they come to the table and they're not very clear about their intentions, what they want. So then people can see that, and then that gives them a little wiggle room to kind of manipulate and do things that aren't good. So, yeah, so if you come to the table and you have every single thing in order for how you want it, then I do think it will help that you will actually get less of that. And you know what? Honestly, I think also just – I think all of us have a first reaction in our own internal gut reaction to people and things and places. So if I meet somebody, I always like to also just rely on that feeling. So, you know, I know that you can't always do that, but I think at least personally for me, that helps also.
Yeah, I agree with that. On the coattails of that too, Victoria, there's people respect you when you have good questions, and they want to know that you care about being screwed over. Otherwise, they will take advantage of you. And if you come to the table saying things even as bold as what's the worst feedback you've gotten from anybody, you know, even as bold as that, start with the negative, you know, really dive in. It's not always going to be received very, 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 you know, happily, but, you know, it kind of lets people, let them know you're not kidding around. I mean, I'm thinking in my head about an example of a business meeting with a music executive, you know. Someone who they may think they have everything that you need, but if you come to the table saying, no, I'm just as much of a person, you may have, you know, you may have the access and the contacts they need, but I'm really kind of know what I want, and I don't want to be screwed around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think also, too, just as a budding singer, actor, model, anything, you have to know the business of the craft that you're in. SJ was on here a time back, and he was a really good example of actually understanding the business side of the music industry and when you can actually apply a certain practicum, because I think artists these days are such, well, not these days, I mean, artists through time are very, I don't want to use the term emotional, but the creative process lends you to be swept up with emotion, and you have to approach the business side with a logical head and really realize that when something smells like, you know, dookie, it's probably dookie, and that's how you go ahead and trust your inner instinct. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I 100% do. Your inner instinct is probably the best answer. I'm learning to get more comfortable with mine because I'm so analytical, I sometimes push it aside. But it usually ends up being right in 2020 hindsight, and approaching people, you know, with listening when you approach people, listening. I mean, oh, it's kind of cliche. Everybody says you got to listen more than you talk, but
right.
It allows
very
you
true.
not just to let them talk, but to actually, you know, absorb the feeling and the energy and the disposition of another individual.
And you know something, something too. I was just thinking about whenever, you know, someone wants to even talk to me about At Home with Victoria or trying to do something with the show or trying to do that. It's one thing that's always Josh and Michael K that will always raise a red flag for me is that I don't like it when people feel like they have to talk me into something. So that what I'm saying, if there's an idea that you have, you know, it's one thing, you know, to tell me what it is and let me sort of think about it, absorb it, and think about it myself so that I can make a constructive or conscious decision about it as opposed to you trying to talk me into it. So that's something that always will raise a red flag with me when somebody, you know, just sort of comes to me and they're talking really fast and trying to talk me into something. So I just throw that out there because I'm sure within the music industry, you probably get a lot of people who are constantly will always try to talk you into something. So that right there should sort of, I think, be like just, wait, hold up for a second. Let's just take a step back because, you know, you really shouldn't have to talk me into it because if it's a good idea that you're that you're giving me, then why should I have to be talked into it?
It should sell itself.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. It should sell itself. So I want to thank all
Vic,
of you guys.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, honey. No, I just wanted to go ahead, and I didn't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to switch topics a little bit to you work with another big, I feel like I'm dropping names now, but Randy Singer, you're familiar with him. Anybody
sure.
not familiar with his work, please check him out at randysinger.com. But he actually owns the Van Dyke in Miami, and I tell you, how did you end up meeting him?
I was away in China, and a good friend of mine at the time had knew Randy or knew of Randy, and she said, check this guy out. And so he did, and he was very skeptical because he gets that up from a lot of people, and it just happened to be that he really enjoyed the music on the album, and as soon as I got back to China, I had gigs set up with Randy, and he gave it a shot, and we became good friends. He really loved the music, and it's been a great relationship thus far. He's a huge proponent of my music, and he really does support it, and I can't thank him enough for it. But I love playing at the Van Dyke, and I love the crowd and the vibe and the other musicians that are a part of that musician circle in the Van Dyke. And it was very lucky. I thank Amber for that.
All right. Well, tell him I want to have him on the show, so just mention that to him. Vic, I'm sorry to cut you off, love.
No, that's okay. In fact, I was before we did that, I was getting ready to, just to thank everybody who was listening inside the chat room, Stephen. Goofy Bone was in there earlier. He's one of our regular and also a host as well. Barbara Dixon, we've got a guest there. And, again, Mike is also inside the chat room. And if you are not with us in the chat room, we are having a conversation with musician and also artist Josh Stettman. We've been listening to a little bit, not a little bit, we had the opportunity to listen to two of his songs on the show today. So that's what the conversation is about on At Home with Victoria. So, Josh, tell us a little bit before we let you go about your future plans. So do you have anything in the pipe coming down that we need to look out for?
Yeah, that's the plan. Right now I'm out in Colorado, as you know, with SJ, who's a good friend, very good friend. We've become very close and a great music colleague, and we've been tearing it up, playing live shows out in Vail, Beaver Creek, and we're hitting Aspen next weekend. The Jerome Hotel, actually, in the library bar for the closing weekend on Saturday night. So that's going to be a really interesting one. I'm looking forward to that. And we will be sort of co-touring this whole spring, starting in March 1st. And we're going out to L.A. at the end of April, then to San Francisco, and then we're finally breaking. And I will be coming through. I haven't planned out yet particularly, but I believe it's going to be Chicago, maybe a couple cities in between, and then maybe a few cities on the way back down to Florida. So that's the tour schedule. And then for the music, I'm excited to get back to Miami because I've made some great friends with some amazing creative production teams and producers and individuals, and looking forward to getting the studio again. I'm going to probably do an EP. I'm thinking about more of the, you know, one song at a time, throwing it out there, letting it sort of get some feedback, bounce it against the wall, check what the fans think, and, you know, move into a combination of a direction of my own feeling and art and sort of where my fans are feeling it back and more of an organic production process, if you will.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm going to probably do an EP before the end of the year if I can get things in order.
Very cool.
Sounds
MK? That's
great. Yeah, you can go ahead and find Josh. If you want to find out more, you can find him. He's on Facebook. You can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Reverb Nation. It's Joshua Steadman, S-T-E-D-M-A-N. And check everything out on there. Vic, I feel like a song coming on. I want to go ahead and play the song Whisper. But before I do, Josh, tell us a little bit about the little background of Whisper.
Yeah, Whisper is that quadruple entendre.
It is. It's a very heavy song. I really love it.
It's a love affair with whatever the inanimate or animate object may be that just keeps drawing you back. Mm. And it's you know, for me, it was there was an inspiration from a couple of different angles. One of them happened to have been the mountain, literally a mountain of fresh powder to go skiing on. It's such a big part of my life that there was a piece of the mountain that I found in the woman that I love. You know, it was a piece
wow.
of a woman that I found in the mountain I love, and you know,
yes.
so they were in almost in a sense synonymous, and they have the same power over me. So
wow.
Go figure.
That was the, yeah, so very seductive and very relentless, and I'm very weak.
Oh, but the song is fantastic.
Yeah.
Everyone, this is Joshua Steadman from Untangled with Whisper.
Oh,
sucking me back in. I love it.
Telling you.
Josh, you are absolutely so talented. And listen, darling, we're so happy and honored that you were able to come on the show tonight. I know Michael Kay has just been crazy, crazy waiting for you to come on. So just thank you so much for your time. MK?
Yeah,
Josh,
it's
been
guys.
An absolute delicious experience. I hope you had fun on Home with Victoria, and please understand that anytime you have anything new coming up, please consider Home with Victoria your home, because we'd love to have you back again and again and again.
Well, it's very kind of you both. I've really enjoyed the time with you. Thank you so much for the time, and I really enjoyed the chat. Good questions, and you guys run it right. You do it right.
Oh, thank you so much.
Cool,
we appreciate
thanks,
it.
Buddy.
And
yeah,
have a
great
absolutely.
Night, buddy.
Love you,
okay.
too.
You
so listen,
too.
Guys, and listen, everybody, don't forget, you can find Josh, you can find him on Facebook, and Michael Kay also has all of his information inside the chat room, so, you know, there's just tons and tons of information out there about him. So he definitely is somebody who should be on your radar in terms of a musician. Michael Kay, absolutely fabulous he is.
Yeah, I knew from the first song, the first song I listened to was, I think it was Smile, and, or it was Fool I've Been, actually, was the first song that I heard, and I just knew, he's just, there's so many artists out there right now just about to click, the Drew Stevens, the Button Stixon, the Joshua Stedman, the SJ Acoustic, that I really do feel like they're just on the precipice, you know, just
mm-hmm.
people just need to listen, and great point, too, about Facebook and stuff. I know he was saying about how it requires monitoring, but the monitoring is so essential, because my 463 people know multiple, so you can get the word out so very quickly for spending 5 minutes on Facebook. You know, it's a fantastic
yes.
networking tool. So for new artists, it's a definite must do. I definitely do think. But really glad you liked him, Vic.
Yes, I did. I did. I loved him. So here's the deal, because you know a few things about me. At heart, I am a television journalist, and what I really loved about him, despite of course loving his music and knowing that he's very talented, I love the conversation, because it's great to be able to have a wonderful, thought-provoking conversation with a young artist, you know, who definitely has a lot of substance to him, and just not only the music part. And it was very cool, because I learned a lot from him, especially when he talked about that, I guess, the music conference that he was in San Francisco, where there was a person on the panel who talked about how you have to be engaged with your audience and keeping your audience. So it was incredible. I learned a lot just from listening to him tonight, so I took away a lot from that as well. So that part of the conversation, of course, I love him and love the whole interview, but that part of the conversation was sort of my highlight and what really excited me as well. And, you know, the thing is that within the music industry, it's like you always kind of have, at least I feel like, and it's sort of the same thing in television news with news anchors and reporters, you always sort of have a group that's already out there, so to speak, in the public eye, but then you always have that sort of group that's right there waiting to move up to where that other group is, because people move on and things happen. So I kind of see him as he's already there, so it's just that other group has to move on a little bit before him and all and Buttons and all those people, you know, sort of get to that level.
Oh, yeah, it's like a bottleneck, I think. And
yeah,
I think what I find fantastic about indie artists, and I respect them so much for them, is that everyone is willing to reach back and give a hand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not these people, these synthesized machines that once I'm famous, screw all the rest of you kind of a thing. It's
mm-hmm.
the indie artists that are going ahead and helping people just give a hand up again. That is, again, what people are doing essentially, and I just think it's a lot more meaningful, and I think the fans actually can see through a lot of the BS in the mainstream market. So, yeah, people like Joshua and SJ and Buttons and Drew, you're going to see a lot more of them, and it's just absolutely going to be fantastic.
And, of course, we are fortunate here at Home with Victoria because we get them before the whole world gets them. So that's,
I know, just minutes before they're about to be famous.
Yeah, so that's the cool thing about it. And then, of course, Josh knows this is his home, so he'll come back here anytime to talk about what it is that he wants to talk about. And know that we're a very good show. We're not controversial. He can say whatever he wants and get a fair show. Supportive of whatever it is that that he's doing and working on. So, again, I just simply loved him because he is a person who is of substance and can certainly have a conversation about his art. And you know what also struck me about him is that he's got this great world view of things as well. He's not limited to just, you know.
I'm really happy you brought that out.
Yeah.
I find that all of these people are almost doing like world music. It can't kind of be put into a box as jazz or what have you. It's world music.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, Vic, I'm just going to recommend, too, that you can catch him on YouTube.com/ Joshua Steadman, Stedman. Vic, you got to check out the video for Tangled.
Okay.
Absolutely, because you know what? The man is a good-looking man, too. I'm telling you that.
Are you kidding me? Do you have to not tell me? Well, you know, I try not to gush like that over our guests. You know, I'm a journalist. I try to be, you know how I am. I try to be professional about these things, but just to have you know, as I'm doing the entire interview, of course, we have his picture on our website, so I'm sitting here looking at those perfect teeth of his, that gorgeous curly hair. So I'm thinking whoever this woman is in this song, Whisper, she's really, 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 really lucky. Yeah, he's a very, very, very handsome young man, for sure.
Nice eye candy.
Yes,
but,
very handsome.
Hey, let's make mention of what we did this past weekend. We had a lot of fun. Thank you again. You're a wonderful host.
Yes, we did. So we had the opportunity, At Home with Victoria supports At Home with Victoria, we support any nonprofit and community event because that's just what we believe in. But then there are others that we really support. Bless Haven with Danielle, Jennings is one of them, and also Time to Fly. So we had the opportunity to visit with two of those organizations, and they had events this weekend in the D.C. area. And I had a chance to MC and share the stage, and I'm going to be quiet and let you pick up Michael Kay, who I had the chance to share the stage with.
Yeah, at the Time to Fly benefit, which is a benefit helping out abused women and families, Victoria got to meet this man named Adlin Cruz. He's a pianist from Brazil. I highly recommend you check him out. Adlin Cruz, ADLANCRUZ.com. Brilliant musician, fantastic heart. Michelle Jones, the organizer of Time to Fly, a brilliant woman, but fantastic event, Victoria.
So the
quite
event
frankly,
was
let
money.
All the listeners know that Michael Kay was actually crying at this event. I was so moved.
He was brought,
so.
Yes, Michael was so moved at this event, he was brought to tears. So the deal was, is that Time to Fly is a nonprofit organization, and their main goal is to get women out of bad situations, women that are in the house being battered, and they are able to get them out. So there was a particular section in the event where it was a spiritual dance, and the four women that were in that dance actually were battered women, and they went through the program. They are very successful on their own with their families now. But each one of them came up and sort of did a quick solo, and flashing in the background had their name, and then it had that it was their time to fly, meaning they have overcome that. And Michael Kay just lost it. I mean, but, you know, he wasn't the only one. There was not really a dry eye in there. I mean, it was very, very emotional.
Powerful.
Yeah, so if you have time, check out Time to Fly. They are also on Facebook, or just Google them, Time to Fly, and you'll find all the information. But we very, very much support them. And Dr. Cruz was great because he flew into town to give the concert out of the goodness of his heart. It was a charity event. So that's, you know, one of the ways that they make money. So they have different concerts or events during the year to make money to keep that program up and running. And I think you can correct me on the numbers, but I think they're trying to raise over $175,000 because they want time to fly. They have churches and communities all over the United States and also in other parts of the country where people are calling Michelle and saying, hey, we want time to fly here. So that money is to go to try to help them set up time to fly in other communities, which we all know is just desperately needed, Michael Kay.
Absolutely. And they're actually going ahead and taking it internationally. They're trying to find training programs to enter into Malawi, Germany, China, Japan. So they're going global with it. And quite frankly, Michelle Jones is just a brilliant, brilliant woman for doing this. So
yes,
I was floored. Also, too, I want to go ahead and make mention to the Mike Cullop from Caribbean, the owner of Caribbean Breeze. On Friday night, Vic and I were attending a special fourth annual fashion show at Caribbean Breeze. Mike Cullop is the owner, and he has Nino's Rising Foundation, which is again a foster child transitioning program that he funds.
Is it Mike Cullop or Mike Cordaro? I think it's...
Oh, Mike Cordaro.
Yeah.
Mike Cordaro, you're very right. My goodness,
Mike,
my memory. You
we
know,
love
I'm getting
Mike
old.
Cullop, too. Yeah, we love Mike. We love
we
you,
love
too,
Mike
Cullop.
Cullop. Absolutely. I don't know what his charity is. However, but that was a fantastic event that I just wanted to go ahead and give a personal shout-out to Mike Cordaro because top shelf everything and a fantastic swanky production. So
yeah,
we had a great weekend, Vic.
And that was a fashion show, and Mike has been on At Home with Victoria, his organization, Nino's Rising. Mike went through the foster care system himself as a youth, and he's now very successful, owns several restaurants in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. So he is heavily involved into charity work, but he likes to focus on kids that go through the foster care system just to let them know that somebody cares about him. So that's what he's all about. So if you're interested in that, I know that Nino's Rising has a fan page on Facebook, and I know Mike has got some events coming up. Danielle Jennings, who is also there, her organization, Blessed Haven, she does a lot with foster care. Many of you know Danielle because she's been on our show several times as well. So the last thing we need to talk about before we get out of here, big, big, big for At Home with Victoria, we have a website. Isn't that very cool, MK? We have a website.
Very good. And I have to say, News Lady, you did a spanking job on it. Everything works, and it's nice to look at.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I decided I was toying between am I going to go ahead and, you know, pay someone to do the website or just go ahead and try it on my own. And I did my little research, you know, the News Lady, I've got to research. So I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a try. And it turned out very, very, very nicely. But right now, the name of it is kind of long. So eventually we're going to shorten it and we're going to buy the domain name at homewithvictoria.com or either at homewithvictoria.org. So that will be pretty easy for everyone to remember. So that's fairly new, but you'll be hearing more about that and also some other cool things that At Home with Victoria has on the horizon. But with that
Absolutely.
Said, Michael Kay, we have a new closing that we are going to be using on the show now. Is that correct? We have a new closing, right?
We do. We're going to play Tangled and then go to the close. But I just want to go ahead and make mention, don't forget Friday, Vic, we have Michael Taylor Gray from award-winning web series Pretty and Michael Anthony, the indie filmmaker, regarding bullying. So it's an anti-bullying show, April 8th at 8 p.m. We're going to be talking about the Trevor Project and Michael Anthony's new film For Billy. So I'm very excited about that.
Gotcha. All of that sounds great. So thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen tonight. And if you missed the first half of the show, don't forget you can always download us on iTunes. Also, you can always listen on the BTR site. Just click listen, and you can listen to the entire show again. Thank everybody inside the chat room who visited with us tonight and also for all of our fans and listeners. And on behalf of Michael Kay and myself, we will be with you again live on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Good night, and thank you.
From us, so don't make a sound. Most out there don't really care, they're just curious with their ears to the ground. and hear tongue tie in the public. Oh.
Listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.